This is the only game in which it's sometimes better to be wrong than right. It's called Right or Wrong. And right here is the man who's seldom wrong, Clement Freud.
Thank you very much. On my left are Andre Melly and Anthea Askey, all set to do battle with John Cleese and William Rushton. Let me try and tell you how the game works. I ask a question, and the team which wants to answer buzzes or rings. Men buzz and women ring. You know about that. If the answer's correct and the other team agrees with them, the first team scores 5 points. If the answer's wrong, but they're wrong with such conviction the other team thinks they're right, then they score 10. In other words, twice as many points when one team successfully misleads the other team, which is the point of the game. And you can get double for being right also, but only if the opposing team thinks that you're wrong. You'll catch on, I have no doubt. To add a modicum of extra spice and confusion, each team has been given 4 answers, only neither team knows which 4 answers the other team has been given. So in this atmosphere of mutual mistrust, here's the first question. If I asked you to visit my home to see my jabiru, what would you expect? J-A-B-I-R-U. William Rushton.
A rather colourful umbrella from Malaya.
A Malayan umbrella?
Very colourful. Well, a golf umbrella, maybe more ornate.
A colourful umbrella from Malaya.
I think it's absolutely wrong. I absolutely agree with you. It is absolutely wrong.
And you have 5 points because it's wrong. Good.
It is a kind of cactus plant of that family.
Andre Melly says a cactus plant of that family.
Of what family?
I think the Malaysian umbrella family.
Oh, the umbrella family. No.
Of the cactus family.
I'm sorry.
No, not even that.
5 points.
I think it's a bird. Jabiru. I think it's a bird. In fact, I would go so far as to say I think it's a bird.
John Cleese.
You mean a two-legged man.
John Cleese thinks it's a bird. How do you feel about that?
Javanese blonde.
Oh, no, ornithological.
I don't know.
I think it could be, but you're the boss.
No, I'll be wrong then. We'll say it's right.
Andre Melly says right. Tis right. John Cleese gets 10 points for being right, but not an extra 10 because he didn't fool Andre Melly and Anthea Askey. In fact, a jabiru is a pet bird of the Micteria breed, which is a sort of stork-like wading bird from southern. But you all knew that. Next question. The 4 Adam brothers were distinguished Scottish architects and interior decorators. The first names of 3 of them were Robert, John, and James. What was the first name of the 4th?
Ringo. Huh?
William Rushton, Ringo.
It was a nickname they gave him.
I hardly think so.
No.
Do you, Andre? No.
5 points. It was not Ringo.
It was not quite as usual as the others. It was Trevor.
Andre Melly says Trevor.
I've heard of a man in a kilt called Trevor.
No, that's very non-Scottish. I think that's a poor attempt by and large, so I think we should say no.
No, we just said it.
No.
You get 5 points for saying no, and it goes up to 10 points now. The first name of the Adam brother who was not called Robert, John, or James?
Charles. Good Scottish name.
Not that one, no.
10 points. It was not Charles.
No, it was, in fact, Richard.
It's boring enough to be true, isn't it?
Yes.
Could have been Tarmac.
I think we should accept that. Yes.
Good decision.
Richard. 20 points to the girls, because it was not Richard.
Oh.
They get 20 points for fooling you into thinking it was Richard. His name was, of course, William.
Bill Adam.
Which gives the girls a 20-point lead. They have 40 to the men's 20. I'm going to play you a tape, and I want you to identify the noise. William Rushton.
It's a very old tape recorder.
No, sorry.
5 points to the girls.
In actual fact, it's a recording of an early diving suit bunged up with fluff.
No.
5 points to the men.
It sounds exactly like my father getting up in the morning, but I fail to see how you could have recorded that without my knowing. So I think that it is, in fact, a very early form of steam engine.
I don't think so. No.
10 points. Impossible.
Could we hear one squawk again?
No, it's either the lot or none.
I thought so. It's part of a machinery for ice cream. I've been in a factory and heard it. Making ice cream.
10-point bonus. Ice cream machine.
She lies.
10 points to William Rushton and partner.
It's the workings.
Now up to 20 points.
It's the inner workings of Tower Bridge.
No, because you couldn't hear the water.
20 points was not the inner workings of Tower Bridge.
It's a milking machine with a leaky teat holder.
The left one.
No, I say no, because one can hear a chicken at the end.
It's 40 points to the girls, because it was a milking machine with a leaking teat holder. Do you want to hear it once more?
Yes,
indeed.
There it is.
There's the chicken, you say?
It's a cow. Poor creature.
Did you guess that, or did you know the answer?
We knew it.
And you were holding out for the extra points. Well done. Right.
Guess it.
The girls are now in a commanding lead. They have 115 against the boys' 35. Who wrote, in what poem, he keeps a lady in a cage most cruelly all day and makes her count and calls her miss until she fades away? Elsie Aspie.
Hilaire Belloc.
Hilaire Belloc?
I think it's previous to that. It has an old ring, doesn't it?
No is the word you're searching
no
for.
No is the one.
5 points.
The only person I know before Belloc is Shakespeare, and I'm sure it's not that meter.
No, it couldn't be. It's later than him. The name escapes me.
Pre-Belloc, post-Shakespeare.
Yes. There's quite a lot of country there. How about this? How about Tennyson?
So much acting went on.
Yes.
And
there was a lot.
Word. The rhythm's possible, isn't it? Da-di-da-di-do-di-do.
It's possible.
No, let's be brave.
Five points. It was not Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Right.
It's gone up to 20 points now.
Can we hear it again?
He keeps a lady in a cage most cruelly all day and makes her count and calls her miss until she fades away.
It's a kind of a nonsense thing.
That was it. I don't know.
Yes.
Really?
10 points. They don't know, and we accept that.
Shall we move smoothly to the next question?
Yes.
It was G.K. Chesterton.
Oh.
And it was called A Song Against Roses. Who discovered infrared rays in 1847? Fancy asking.
It was Marie Curie's husband. I can't remember his name, but it was her husband.
Fred.
Fred Curie.
Who discovered infrared rays in 1847? Fancy asking.
It was Marie Curie's husband. I can't remember his name, but it was her husband.
Fred.
Fred Curie.
Why did she come in as fast as that? That's very disturbing.
Because it's the only thing I know.
Marie Curie, radium.
Yes.
That's 10 points for the girls because it was not Marie Curie's husband. Marie Curie's husband was not called Fred. He didn't discover infrared rays.
I think we need 50.
1847 was a wildly inaccurate date for them in any case. It was John William Draper. I'm going to play you some music. I want you to identify the pianist.
It's a little now recording of our Prime Minister, Edward Fingers Heath.
I don't think so. No.
5 points.
It's not a speed, is it?
Mr.
A bit racy.
No. It's very elementary, didn't it, somehow? I think it's someone who usually plays something else, like, I think it's the late Louis Armstrong on piano.
Playing with his lips. Now,
5 points.
Am I? No.
We go up to 10 points now.
10 points for a jazz pianist. Well, I only know one.
Who's he?
Can't believe
him. Oh, I didn't know him.
He used to come round.
You know him well?
Yes, Western Super. I used to drop in the evening with a jar of cider with my father. I'll say Count Basie. He never used to play that when he came to Western Super. He always played classical stuff, but this he used to say. He was, yes, Count Basie.
Count Basie.
All that going on. Could be if somebody, a friend, was playing the other thing. No, I think no.
20 points to the men, because it was Count Basie.
Sorry.
Where would you expect to look to see a quark? Anthea has.
You would look in the Black Forest. A quark in the Black Forest.
Oh. No.
No.
9 points.
We can dismiss that quite quickly.
I think, in fact, a quark is, or rather was, an extinct Australian mammal of some kind, as it's extinct in a grave.
In a grave?
No.
5 points.
No.
We go up to 20 points.
It is actually a part of, on old sea vessels, a sort of part of, like a handle thing that you wound up the anchor with.
Where would you look for it?
On an old sea vessel.
No.
Wrong.
Quite wrong.
20 points. Was wrong.
I still think it's... What do you think?
No, I was just going to say, I was just crazy. Look, you would look upwards. Because it flies and flaps about.
Where not being would you expect...
It is a bird.
I actually
you would look into the sky generally above Ceylon.
No.
If you're not in Ceylon, above. You would look sideways into the distance over the horizon. If in Ceylon, straight up. And there is the quark.
The sky above Ceylon.
No.
20 points. Up to 40 points.
He's only a bit wrong because you look down into the sea from Peru.
Down, sea, Peru.
Wrong.
40 points.
Now we have to come up with something else. We clearly have the slightest idea where you would find a corpse. I would say you would find it in an antique shop.
Antique shop?
And get a pretty price for it.
I think they think it's about time that they gave us the right answer.
That's right.
And
I
as
think.
We don't know, they probably do, and I think they're right.
80 points to the men. Nobody knew the answer.
Oh.
The answer is the Falkland Islands, and it's a bird. It's a sort of night heron. But the Falkland Islands, we decided, were so far away from Ceylon. And it is a night heron. We now come to a guest appearance. Every week we invite a celebrity to come here, give us a potted 1 minute life history in which there's one deliberate mistake. And today's celebrity, Miss Beryl Reid.
I was born of Scottish parents in Hereford and started my education in one of the first schools of self-discipline in this country, a progressive kindergarten called Lady Barn House School in Manchester. I think it was there probably that I picked up some of the ideas that I used later to go into the making of Monica, the schoolgirl, with the lisp and the spit and the pigtails. I was 4 when I first said, "I'm going on the stage, you know." And I don't think I even knew what the stage was then. And when I was 3, I learned dancing. And then I started to do impressions. And in 1937, I got my first professional job in a concert party at £2 a week for a summer season in Bridlington. From then on, I tried to get into pantomime. And I went and did an audition for a producer who said to me, "What do you do?" And I said, "Everything." And he said, "Oh, how much do you want?" And I said, £3. He said, "You know, all my life I've wanted to meet someone who could do everything for £3 a week." And I got the job. And I played principal girl, second boy, genie of the ring, and the fairy. Not all at the same time. The first time that listeners heard Monica was in the Henry Hall guest night. And there were lots of radio shows, including 4 years with Educating Archie. Then there was a TV series with Norman Wisdom and one with Benny Hill. It was in one of the Watergate reviews that I created Marlene of the Midlands. And in 1954, I made my first film, Bells of St. Trinian's. There have been lots of feature films since then, including The Extra Day, Two Way Stretch, Mr. Bowling Buys a Newspaper, Doc Brief, Entertaining Mr. Sloan, and The Killing of Sister George. And, of course, there have been lots of pantos, Mother Goose, Dick Whittington, Jack and the Beanstalk, and Cinderella, in fact, all of them. I've had a great deal of fun in an offbeat sort of way on television, and here are a few of the things that I've appeared in. The Rivals, Beryl Reid Says Good Evening, Edward the Confessor, The Max Bygrave Show, Wink to Me Only, Father Dear Father, Mrs. Capper's Birthday, The Most Likely Girl, and at the moment I'm doing radio and television shows. And at this very moment, I'm telling you the very boring story of my life.
There was one deliberate mistake. The team gets 25 points for identifying it and loses nothing for a false attempt. John Cleese.
The only thing there that really sounded funny was to me that I don't think that you were in the show Beryl Reid Says Good Evening.
Well, if I wasn't, somebody was having a very nasty evening with another lady.
You know what the BBC
okay,
are like.
That's not it. Wrong.
I'm trying to work these dates out because I was in the Bells of St. Trinian's too, and I know how old I was then, and I'm not telling you, but I think
Wrong.
It was 52.
Wrong.
One title that stuck in the head of the movies was Mr. Bowling Buys a Newspaper.
Why was that?
I don't know. Just stuck in my head. A lovely title. I never saw it. Did that exist?
Oh, yes.
I did. I must see it.
I think we ought really to give it to William Rushton because
yes, we ought to.
He
really.
Queried Mr. Bowling Buys a Newspaper, which was in fact a television.
It was a television play and not a film.
So it won't be back.
No, it won't be back. Had your chance and missed it.
Can I just remind you, Beryl, of the first time I spoke to you, or possibly the only time I spoke to you? I first had a nightclub. And I'd been going about a year, and I was paying Fenella Fielding £3 a week for doing cabaret. And somebody said, why don't you employ Beryl Reed? And I phoned you and said, I'd like you to come and do cabaret for me. And you said, that will be so many pounds. And I thought in a moment of incredible sort of being with it, I said, I'm afraid I only pay by the week.
Well, will you try me again?
I no longer have a nightclub.
Oh, what a shame.
Thank you very much for
Thank
coming
you.
Along.
Bye-bye.
Now we go back to Right or Wrong. I think we'll have to give... You've given William Rushton 25 points.
Yes, indeed.
Quite right.
So the boys are in the lead by 65 points. 235 to 170. We come to the next question in Right or Wrong, which is, what was the name of the churchman at the centre of the Marie Antoinette diamond necklace scandal? Andre Milly.
Curé de Villa.
Well,
it's going quite well with the V, but the R sounded like an ad lib, didn't it?
Yes, I didn't like that.
How do we end a French word?
Yes.
If pushed.
No.
5 points. The churchman at the centre of the Marie Antoinette diamond necklace scandal. Another television play in which Beryl Reed did not appear.
That's the Bishop of Bath and Wells.
The churchman, Marie Antoinette. I think it was very near. No. No, I think one's got to say Mazarin.
One's got to.
Mm.
Well, it's a pity you've got to, because I think it's quite wrong. It's wrong.
5 points. Points go up to 15.
I did know I am thinking.
Well, the common market's gone mad already.
The Cardinal de Rohan.
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 There's a place called Rohan in the Michelin Guide. It's a little small house, but in bright red, full of cups and saucers.
Is it large enough to have a cardinal?
I don't think it would have a cardinal. Don't think, no. Not with the cups and saucers.
30 points to the girls, because he was Cardinal de Rohan.
Was it?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Said it so beautiful.
Easy.
Did you know that? Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh, gosh, yes. You get 30 points, nevertheless. How many feet has a sagine? I'll spell that for you. S-A-G-E-N-E. Sagine.
An Where ironic is? Twist. 2. For it is a lady sage. A wise woman. There's a contradiction in terms. Oh, it is what it is. 2.
Sage?
No.
No. No.
5 points, not 2.
It depends. It can grow to 142 feet, being a kind of tree.
Or an ambitious centipede.
Kind of tree? Is that being offered seriously?
Yes.
Oh, that out of court.
No, 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 no.
You're quite right.
A, whatever it is.
That's 15 points.
A, whatever it is.
A sagine.
A sagine is a peculiar version of, it's a type of Russian spider, which is also used as a measure of length. And this is a particular evolution of Russian spider that's in fact lost a leg. Over a long period of time, and so in fact it has 7 feet.
What he's talking about?
Spider.
No.
No.
Quite sure.
Oh, that's naughty.
Too late. It is in fact a Russian measure of length. It equals approximately 84 inches, and John Cleese is right.
Let's spider men
gallop into the lead.
I said it was used as a measure of length.
And all that spider bit was made up.
He said the spider was extinct. I'm going to play you a tape. And I would like you to identify what is making the noise. And if you say the noise is faint, you get no points, because we know the noise is faint. Really?
It isn't faint. It's magnified enormously, as it is a kind of unextinct Russian spider in wooden shoes.
A Sejin with sabots.
Yes, precisely.
No, unacceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right. I think Andre is right. It is magnified. In fact, it's someone eating celery.
A celery eater.
No.
Oh, 5 points. Not a celebrator.
We
go up to 20 points now.
I think I know this because I've actually heard this. There is a locust centre in Kensington High Street where you can go and look at these things. And this is a magnification of a locust eating plants.
A deathly hush fell on the proceedings.
I think she's trying to drag in a piece of information she's been given correctly. So I'm inclined to believe that. What do you think?
I'm with you.
Yes.
No. No. The girls shoot back into the contest and are now only 50 points behind, with 240 against 290. That, in fact, let's listen to it once more. Let's give the audience a go. Does anyone in the audience know what it is? Shout. Roulette. No.
Clog dance.
No. It was, of course, two fallow deer rattling their antlers.
Oh, horse.
Thank heavens, this is radio. Isn't it?
At Rotorua in New Zealand, there's something called Puhutu. What is it? Audrey Milley.
It is one of the largest totem poles known.
Not generally known, do they? No.
Well, I've been to Rotorua, actually. No? Believe it or not, yes, I actually went to New Zealand. I'm one of the three people in the world who's been there. And all I remember about Rotorua, as far as I remember, is they had geysers and lots of hot air blowing out and gas and this kind of thing. But I don't think they had totem poles there, so I'll say no and be told they had. No.
No, you're right. The score now is 295 to the men, 240 to the girls. And this is the last question, so I thought I'd warn you.
So the actual answer, quite seriously, is that it is a famous sort of geyser, one of those strange things that sits and occasionally belches hot air or gas or whatever it is out of great pools of warm mud.
Well, as a matter of fact, annoying as it may be, we've been given it, and therefore it's right.
You're right.
And you end up with a totally unexpected 10 marks shooting you into the lead. And this is the end of this edition of Right or Wrong, in which William Rushton and John Cleese conclusively beat Andre Melly and Anthea Askew.
Your chairman in Right or Wrong was Clement Freud. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Christopher Searle.